change keys a lot. touch the Lord. Come on in, let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above the clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord. Come on in, let's reach up and above the clouds, reach on up, feel His power.
folks, forgive me for getting up the second time. Forgive me. But that story of Mephibosheth, was I wrong, by the way, with it? Was he running from Absalom or the Philistine? The midwife I'm talking about. I was trying to find that story. It was the Philistines then?
Yeah, it was right after Jonathan died.
It was right after they got news that Saul and Jonathan got killed.
Yeah, yeah. Philistines.
The nursemaid took him and ran with him. Of course, she knew that, you know, the king was dead and that there was going to be somebody else ruling.
She was afraid the new king
was going to kill him. The new king would kill him because he was an heir to the throne.
Because right. That's what they always did back then. They always killed all the heirs. Yeah. Mephibosheth was a picture of us. That's what Brother Smith was saying, and that's what that song was saying. Mephibosheth was lame. Crippled. We was crippled before we come to God, and the king called us. The king had to come get us, as a matter of fact, and brought us to him because we weren't able to do it on our own power. Just like Mephibosheth was not able to do it on his own power, neither were we. And once the king called us, here we are eating at the king's table. Here we are eating at the king's table. How much better can you have it than that right there? Is God good or what? I love that story. I feel good. I lied to you folks today. Forgive me. I got up today and told you I didn't have anything to say, and then I just kept talking and talking. It just kept coming to me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I just want to say I'm glad to be here, and I was thinking about that song, the band song, Somebody Prayed for Me, and I was thinking that while, and I, just as an afterthought, everybody has their own interpretation of songs and the way things go. It's really interesting, but I was thinking that while I've always been, I was born and raised here, nobody, the way I view that song is somebody prayed for me to bring me out of the world. And while that is, while I've never been out there, nobody has prayed that for me, but somebody did pray it for somebody else, and I am here as the result of that. And I was just sitting there thinking and over everything, and now that you're out of the world and you're here and you've heard this and your eyes have been opened, you'll never be able to go back and get the same fulfillment or joy or whatever there was, you know. Ignorance is bliss, but you're no longer ignorant now. You know, it was okay when I was 3 to get that math problem wrong. Now it's not okay to get that algebra problem wrong, is it? No. But that's what we have mercy for. And God knows I need a lot of that at times, but I was just thinking that I don't really know what it made me, what brought this to my mind, but once you're here and you have an understanding and you start to follow God, if you ever leave, it's not God that leaves, it's you that refuse to follow. And I don't want to be one of the ones that has my eyes open and has a golden opportunity just to wasted away. And I'm glad that somebody, even though I've been born here, somebody is praying for me, and somebody is here to help me stand when I have my problems and adversities. I know that there's someone here to always stop me and say, I might want to consider about this, and thinking over, and all I have to do is just listen and pay attention, and that God will lead you out of whatever it is. Rather, he doesn't always work, he doesn't always reach his hand down personally and show you what he wants you to do, even though that would be nice, because I wouldn't doubt it. But you know, when somebody comes up to me and says something, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, you really just don't want me to do that because you have some whatever. But it would be good if I would just stop and listen, consider that maybe God is speaking in some way that I don't really realize. And somebody had said something a couple weeks ago, and they said that when we pray for something, we expect God to answer something. He may answer it, but he won't always answer it in the way that you expect or you want. You know, story comes to mind of, who was in the Fort Smith Church? That tornado came through, tore down their house. Yeah, John and Sherry Myers, they had a house and a storm came through, tore it completely down to the ground, nothing left, everything was lost. And a couple weeks later, a relief crew came through and they built them a house that was twice as nice, twice as big, and they got everything back. And they didn't have to pay for it, all free. And it just goes to show you that if you can weather the storm, you may be broken, beaten, bloodied, and battered, but as long as you're still alive. And that's something to be thankful for, and that no matter how bad it gets, there's always people here praying for you to weather the storm, and that's what I want to do.
I appreciated getting to work during the youth meeting, and I always stress over those things. It seems like they're always in the middle of the summertime when it's always deathly hot. And a few years back, we had a heat spell probably about 3 years ago that's about like this one we're in now, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And the Lord, I mean, not because of my prayers, but because of that youth meeting. Well, I guess it was because of my prayers. We got a four-day respite from that heat. And then during this last meeting, Brother Smith asked us to pray about it, and I was thinking the exact same things. Lord, how are we going to deal with, you know, 700 people in this church and it being, you know, 105 degrees outside? And if you'd told me, you know, that it would have, what the temperature was, it 86 that day? 84, 85, 86, somewhere. That's for a little while, heated right back up, but it got the temperature down. And I'm thankful for that. I mean, we could have been in a real pickle. And I think that, going up to a meeting like that, you always wonder, you know, how we can get so much done with so few people. And it just happens to get done. I mean, it's not for the lack of hard work, I guarantee you that. I mean, I saw people here at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning that were here at midnight that night. But it got done. And, I think of that song, God will reward the faithful. And I know that God will, and I think God already has. You know, I've thought many times of how little tragedy, you know, I've been here all my life pretty much, and off and on, and how little tragedy this church has suffered. You hear of other churches and other, you know, people go through lives, and how much that we've kept under God's covering. And I'm not saying, you know, we're any better or any worse. I just want to be thankful, and at least, you know, let God know that I am thankful. You know, many times I've, you know, I've said this before, many times I've thought about leaving, but, you know, thinking about leaving that covering is the thing that really, really, you know, I live dangerously enough like it is. I need all the covering I can get. And that's not just in the physical parts of my life, you know, the things I've always done, but it's also in, you know, having God's covering over my finances, or having God's covering over my health and my wife's health and my kids' health. I mean, I'm blessed beyond measure. And I think about that, how much God has done for me over the years. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate God's people. And, you know, sometimes I tend to grumble and complain about the amount of meetings that we have, or the, you know, the things that we have to host, that we get to host here. But then again, I don't think that we get to host that. We have that honor. And it's, you know, it's easy for me to say that now that it's over, you know, but I do appreciate that. You know, it's a great honor for us to host God's people, and I appreciate, you know, really, when you step back after a meeting's over and you look at how well everyone worked together, and it almost takes a crisis, and I won't call a meeting a crisis, but a meeting is, you know, it's when you see what people's made of. It's pressure. Yeah, it's exactly right. And the very people that might not get along after this service tonight, you put enough pressure on them, and we'll all get along. We'll all hook up. We're all equally yoked. I think about sometimes if, you know, the Bible says to be not unequally yoked together. You put a sickly ox in the yoke with a healthy ox, one's going to be, they cannot pull. You know, you're just going to go around in circles. The strong ox is going to make that cart just go around in circles. But you put two healthy oxen in there, they'll pull. And I think about how when everybody's got their part here. You know, everybody matters. I know that thing that it just keeps coming back to me. I know that, you know, the greatest fear that so many people, you know, I was reading a thing on the internet here a while back about the things that people fear the most. You know, you'd think it would be death. You would think it would be public speaking. You'd think all the things you think it would be. And the number one fear that people have, and they did this nationwide survey, was the fear of not mattering. And I think about how we all matter. Everybody matters. Everybody's contribution matters. I was talking to Sister Wilkins the other day. I called her up. And by the way, she sends thanks for everybody that's, I think some people have went over there and helped clean her house. I think Sister Linda had cleaned her house, and Sister Weininger went over there. I don't know who all went over there. Sister Tally took food over there, that's right. But one of her fears is the fear of not being at the end of her life and not making a contribution, not mattering. And I was thinking that, you know, that's what we all fear. But we all matter. Now I'm rambling, but I did want to stand and say how thankful I am, and at least, if nothing else, thankful for that cold snap or that cool front that came through. Because that really, I mean, the small things is what, and that's not a small thing when the temperature could have been 105 and it was 85. So I'm just thankful to be here tonight, and I appreciate all my brothers and sisters.
Interpretation of what, you know, each song means. And a lot of times for me, when that song is played, when the band song's played, what sticks out to me is the part where it says in the middle of the chorus where they hold it out and they say it, the words are "I'm free," and then they say "I see." And a lot of times I'll sit there and I'll think it, I'll stop singing, and I'm just thinking about all the things that I am free from. And all the things that I see now, I mean, I know I don't have a perfect vision, you know, I'm 19, I'm just coming in, learning and growing and everything. But I was just sitting there thinking, you know, over the past year and moving out and starting college and all the things that I began to let myself get involved in. And, you know, I never quit church. Y'all know that. I've been here and my heart's always been here. You know, there have been times, you know, I think, dear Lord, you're going to have to help me. But I've always been here. And, you know, I was thinking I've got, you know, some acquaintances out in the world. And the things that they're going through, Brother Pryor was talking this morning and he mentioned something. And I leaned over and I told Brother Painter, I said, I had a friend that was going through something pretty serious that I was dealing with kind of at the same time. We were friends. And one day he just broke down. He just said, you know, how are you making it through this? I don't have a clue how you have not just, you know, lost your mind over this one situation. And I said, it's nothing that, you know, I do, or it's nothing that I'm someone special. But I said, you know, I learned where to go in my time of need. I learned where to call on, who to call on, you know, and that's why a lot of times when I stand up, I talk about when I come in here, I find strength and I can find peace, and that keeps me, you know. And so I was thinking back over that band song about how I'm just so free tonight. You know, we are so free to stand up and just praise the Lord. And you can come in here and we can hear the good words and the good songs and everything. And I do, I want to take a minute like Brother Brett and just say I'm thankful for the things that I have here. I don't want to take any time that I have in this church for granted, because I know that's nothing that, you know, I know that at times in my life, it wasn't me holding on to the Lord, it was Him holding me. And I'm very thankful for that tonight. You know, I had a lot on my mind last week after the youth meeting. Before the youth meeting, I was really going through some things. And the youth meeting, when it started, you know, I was praying the whole time. I said, Lord, you know what I need. I don't know what I need, but you know what I need. And there wasn't a service where I was rolling around on the floor. Like Sister Smith talked about, you know, pray to the Lord what you need, and He'll give you what you need. And I was thinking, Lord, that's what I need. I really just need to be dunked in the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to help me with my problems. But the Spirit, though the Spirit was very strong, you know, I felt the Spirit in a lot of the songs and the talks and everything. But the Spirit and the instruction that we got when the ministers and some of the youth would get behind the pulpit and they talked, and some of the people that even talked in the congregation, it was that Spirit and that instruction that really, really helped me. And then on Sunday morning, we came in, and it's just like, you know, when the band strikes up and you feel it, there's conviction in it when the band's playing. And you just, you know, it's going to be one of those services. And then Sister Lynette saying, God is so good to me. And I took a minute and I said, thank you, Lord. I was up behind the soundboard, and it's very easy to sit back, you know, and get mixed up in what you're doing. But I just sat back and I said, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for keeping me through my hardest trials over this past year, you know. And I don't ever want to lose that appreciation. And that's why I came down front. And I haven't really told a lot of people this, but on that morning, I kept saying, you know, Lord, what do I need to do to get back the relationship I had with you? And then Brother Smith had talked on repentance, and that was just what I needed to do. I was sorry for the things that I did, but I didn't have that true repentance. I didn't have what, you know, the Lord was saying, you need to humble yourself, and you need to come down, and you need to kneel at the altar and renew your relationship with me. It doesn't need to be just words. You need to put some action behind your words. And so that morning when she was singing, I came down front and I just said, Lord, I want to thank you first for being so good to me. And I want to say I'm sorry that I took my eyes off you, but thank you for keeping me. And I want to rededicate my life to you right now. I want to take time to rededicate. And, you know, I don't want to lose track of where I'm at. I don't. As a youth, it's so easy to get caught up in things. It's so easy just to get caught up in your day-to-day routine and your friends and what's going on next weekend and what you know, meeting we're going to go to and things. But I don't want to lose my vision. It's just like that song. It kept reminding me, I see a new way. The Lord is showing me to go. He's showing me to go this way. And I was having a conversation with someone just a while back about, you know, the difference in the body of Christ and another church, and why for me why I come here, you know, and it's because it's the way the Lord has shown me to go. And I'm, yes, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, but I know that God gave it to me, you know, so I'm thankful tonight. I just wanted to take some time. I don't know if I was out of the channel or anything, but I just wanted to take some time to say I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. I don't want to just sit in my pew and let it go by and the Lord not know how appreciative I really am tonight.
That was one of the things that I was going to say something here. I've got such a chest cold, I can't talk very much without coughing, so I don't want you to have to bear with that much. But in these letters to the seven churches in Asia that Jesus had John to write, I've been feasting on that lately, and the church at Ephesus there, you know, he told them, he said, I have somewhat against you. Told them some of the things that he commended them for, that they were, he knew their works, their labors, their patient endurance, enduring the sorrow and the suffering, the persecution that they had endured, the sufferings that they had went through. But he said, I do have something against you. I've been thinking about these letters, you know. I've been thinking about if Jesus, if I knew he addressed a letter to me, you know, or to this church, and told us as a church, and he told them, he said, you've lost your first love. And he said, you need to repent and do your first works over. You remember what it was like when you first came to the Lord?
Yes.
How that you had that zeal and the excitement of your relationship with him and how you wanted to please him and everything. You have to work on relationships, even with the Lord. You know, you have to do that with your friends or your family, especially husbands and wives. If you're not careful, the older you get, you'll just kind of get complacent with each other. You just kind of get to where you know, you both have your little space or your little life, and you don't, you know, you don't work on, you lose some of that intimacy that was there. And you have to work on that if you want to keep it. and it takes the little things. That's what causes you to lose it, is skipping over the little things. Stopping, you know, when you first start a relationship, well, you're careful about what you say and how you say it. You always let them, you know, the other one know how much you appreciate them or what you like about them. And I think it's that way with the Lord. We have to, if we're not careful, our relationship with the Lord can get strained or stale or lukewarm. And I really believe Brother Brandon, that repentance, not saying I'm sorry so much, but just getting down before the Lord and just recognizing your need for him and your need to continue to get closer to him for him to keep that quickening alive in your being, you know, that quickening of the Holy Ghost. It has to has to stay alive. And That didn't sound, you know, when you read it, it don't sound like such a big thing. But he said, remember from whence you are fallen. He told him, you fell. You have fell. Your your first love for me has waned and it's got cold. And he said, repent and go do your first works over. Of course, the first works is repentance. And realizing again that I've taken God for granted. I've not recognized my need for him. I've, you know, and what it boils down to, I think, is you can get in a place when you're serving God where you're comfortable. You know, when you first start serving the Lord, it's hard because you're having to get the world out of your life, old habits, and you're having to go through a sanctification process of God helping you to come out of the world, be separate. Be holy. The more I'm reading these letters, the more I'm realizing that we are in a compromised state. And I don't mean that altogether, you know, bad, but it does. I feel like the Lord's trying to impress on me that it's more urgent than what I'm realizing. We could be more diligent. We could put more effort in serving him and work on our relationship more. And I don't want the Lord to send us a letter like that. We're getting, you know, we're moving toward a restored church. If he wrote a letter to the churches that were in the falling away state, he may write some to the churches that are coming back in. We may need some help from him to show us. One of the things that he said to John, he said, for the time is at hand. I want to show you the things that must shortly come to pass. For these seven churches and the time, it's time. The conditions have got to where it's time that I feel like I need to say something to them. Personal. You know, I need to get personal with these churches. They're the last holdout of the great move of God that the end of the Jewish world knew anything about. And they were already in a fallen state, but he each one of those churches, he reminded them that there's a promise to the overcomers. Get back into that overcoming state. You can get in a condition where you know, I'm not really overcoming right now. I'm not doing everything I know to do. That's an unjust condition. We don't want to get in that condition. But the old saying is so true. It's hard. It's easy to serve him hard, but it's hard to serve him easy. You know, when you start letting down on your relationship with the Lord, it's easy for the flesh, you know, to work. Flesh will rise up quicker or move, you know, it'll respond or react, I'll say, quicker to situations where if you've got that covering working in your life, it'll respond with the Holy Ghost helping you. And so I'm just giving you just that one little part. I know that's very common with you, but I think it's, I don't know that I've ever looked at it like I'm looking at, you know, I don't want to talk on all of these churches right now, but, or even on all what he had to say to the church at Ephesus. But the fact that he talked to them, and I got to thinking about it, you know, we are to all look at ourselves and consider what he's saying to those churches. We're his children just like they were, and we are to consider whether or not we're in a condition they were in and what we need to do to fix it. And so I want to get that first love working, you know, as rich as it was in the high places that I've been in with God. Now, I'm not talking about when I was on top of the mountain. I've went through the valley where it was rich in the valley, just like it was on top of the mountain. And I know that's available, but I know that we have to keep it. You know, it's a place that the Lord requires us. He requires something out of us to abide in him, to abide as much as we know how right now, as much as we're able. One of these days in the near future, I think, somebody's going to move in. Excuse me. Somebody's going to move into that the holy place. Somebody's going to really get a permit and receive enough of the power of God. I think we ought to practice on it. How long can you go without sinning, without committing a sin, doing something wrong? And then when you do, does the Holy Ghost smite you? Are you sensitive enough that you feel it? Or does it several days go by before you realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that? I told y'all one time about every one of us have experiences about, you know, I've been in business or some kind of sales almost all my life, retail management and different kinds of businesses. I went to a man's house one time to buy some speakers, and what he was asking for them was reasonable. And of course, I don't ever give anybody what they're asking for something. I mean, I don't ever try to give. I try not to do that. There's just, you know, something in me that wants to try to get it cheaper. So I tried, I made this guy an offer. I said, I know all about sales. I worked a little reverse psychology on him. I said, these things are worth what you're asking for. But I said, I don't feel like I can give that right now. But I here tell you what I will do. And I offered him a low price. And he said, oh, I can't take that for him. And I said, well, how bad do you need to sell them? He said, well, I need to sell them pretty bad, but I can't sell them for that. So I said, well, what would you take for them? He said, well, I need what I'm asking. I'm asking less than what they're worth. Well, I came up like maybe $50, you know. I mean, I don't remember what the price was, $350 or something like that. I offered him like $150. That's what you do. You just hit somebody so low that, you know, you really get them to thinking. And I may have come up $50. And he just said, he said, boy, I need to sell them, but I just feel like I can take that for them. We need the money. And I could tell the man was telling me the truth. Well, you know, that's just the way it is when you're buying a car or something. Always just walk off. Make them an offer and walk off. Don't ever hang around. Just let them chase you out the door and all the way to your car. If they do that, they'll take less, I promise you. Well, anyway, I just said, well, I can't give that for it, so I'll see you later. I hope you sell them. Sorry. Anyway, so I got in my car, and I drove about two blocks down the road, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost come on me so strong. The Lord rebuked me. The Lord said, you go back to that man. You pay him every dime he's asking for them speakers. He said, you're going to have to get that out of your spirit. He said, quit trying to pay people less than what something's worth. He said, the Lord just began to work me over, and I thought, dear God, is this God talking to me? I knew it was, but I just thought, how am I going to go knock on this guy's door and tell him I've decided to give you full price? I drove maybe another block, thinking about it. I felt like the Lord just, was so strong. I felt like if I didn't turn around right now, God was going to whip me. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. I said, all right, Lord. I was so convicted. I turned around and went back and I knocked on that man's door. I don't know what he thought, but I just went ahead and told him. I said, look. I said, I come back to buy your speakers. I said, God convicted me for trying to gee you down on them speakers so low. And I said, I feel like I've done you wrong and I want to repent to you. And I said, I want to pay you what you're asking for. I said, I hope you hadn't went up, because I'm going to have to buy them. He just looked at me kind of funny and he said, well, I'll sure still sell them to you. I said, well, I'm here to buy them. I said, I don't want to leave without them. I said, because I'm in trouble. I'm trying to get out of trouble. Anyway, I bought them, and he was happy, smiling, and I was too, because I left there obeying the Lord, and I had a clear conscience. But did you know you can get in a condition where God can't even talk to you like that? You can get to a place where you're not sensitive enough for God to talk to you, or God may talk to you and you wrestle with it, you're thinking, is this God, or maybe it isn't God? But if you're living close enough to him, your relationship is rich enough, he can talk to you. And you can be directed. He'll direct your steps and help you. And that's just one instance. God's talked to me in a lot of different ways. But I've also know that there's been times when God was trying to talk to me and I couldn't hear what he was saying. I've worked with people that way. I've seen God trying to talk to his people. They can't figure out what he's trying to say. They keep going around the same mountain. They don't understand. God is dealing with me. And they're not getting it. Well, enrich your relationship with the Lord. One of the things that I've decided to do, I'm going to be gone this Wednesday to the minister's meeting in Dew Corner. I'd start it this Wednesday. But I've decided to start having prayer on Wednesday nights before church starts, like from 6:45 until 7:15, that 30 minutes. I don't want anybody to come in the sanctuary unless they come in here to pray. If you need to visit, we'll visit in the foyer and be quiet, but we'll have to have somebody be here early, but I know with gas and everybody's so busy to have a separate night and to run all the air conditioning and heating when just used to be a handful, three or four people come. I thought maybe if we'd just try before service, since we're coming anyway, maybe we could get more in a habit. But I don't think, church, we're praying enough. I don't think we're talking to God and touching him in the spirit enough. And I just felt like maybe Wednesday nights we could get in here about 30 minutes early. And those of you that can, if you don't get here, if you get here at 7, just pray 15 minutes. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. And but I'd like for us to start that, to have prayer on Wednesday nights, before service, and then at 7:15, people could start coming in and visiting and all. But I'd like for us to at least attempt work on that, and I don't think that would be too much for us to do to get the church working on praying together. I know you're probably praying some yourself. In fact, I'd just encourage you on that. Let me help you with your relationship at home. Practice on this. Get down with your family at night before you go to bed and pray. Reach over and get your wife's hand at night and say, honey, let's pray. Let's talk to God before we go to sleep. Talk a little bit about what's on your heart, what you want to pray about. And begin to work on that relationship and your relationship with God together. It'll help you. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your relationship with each other and your family, your kids. Pray with your children. Don't wait till they're grown and then wonder why they, doing all kinds of things. And I'm just going to add right on to that. You can do all the right things and they'll still do all the crazy things. So I'm not saying it's a remedy. Young people have to grow up. They've got to find God for themselves at some point. Somebody asked me at this meeting, what is the age of accountability? I said, there isn't no age. There's some people that God is holding them accountable much earlier than others. There's some that God don't hold them accountable till they're older. They're not mature enough. They haven't heard enough about God. But there comes a time in everybody's life that God will visit them for the deeds in their life. I'm talking about God's children. And you young people, I really think all of us ought to be praying for our young people. They are growing up in a difficult world. But I'll tell you this, there is help available for them to meet every situation they'll go through. But I'll tell you young people something. You will go through difficulties if you don't have a vision of what God's doing. I was watching a program on television this week that was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was Science versus Christianity. And they was trying to prove that Christianity is just a false religion. That they was trying to prove that half the things that's in the Bible never even took place. And I sat there and listened to that. And I thought, what they were saying were things like, these Christians got people converted over to their religion and got them to believing that they weren't going to have any liberty, Brother Brandon, but there's going to be in prison servants to that religion and miss out on all the fun in life. And they was going down that road. And I thought, God, this is pitiful. And and that catches a lot of young people. See, there's a lot of young people. I think we've got young people in this church that just thinks I'm an old man, don't know half of what I'm talking about. I don't think they believe half what I say. I can tell they're not interested in what I'm saying. But I think there's young people here that are getting it too. But I would that all of you could get it, because what some young people never stop and think about is that, if you get to thinking this is just some religious order, that it's got a bunch of rules that, you shouldn't have to follow or something. What you don't realize is that of all the people that you know about in the world, you won't find another people like this people. You won't find people trying to live a cleaner life, do more reason, think with more reasoning, and with more righteousness, right doing, right ways of doing things. And, you won't find the Spirit of God working any stronger anywhere. We've looked. We're always on the lookout for if God could be dealing with anybody, you know, in a way that'd be greater than he's dealing with this body of people, because we know this is a church in a restored state. At the same time, you have to have a vision from Jesus of the body of Christ. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the body of Christ in the earth, I feel for you. You need that vision. I'm telling you, you need that. If you don't have that, you ought to be praying, God, help me to know. Yeah. There's been many times, like Brother, I don't know who was it said, Brother Brett maybe. I don't know how many times that I have been tempted to leave this. You know, I'm not talking about I hadn't been tempted to leave it in a long while. But I can tell you I went through some tough times. I went through some discouraging moments, especially when God pulled the cover back off and let me see. Let me tell you something about a local church. Every local church, when you come to it, if God really brings you in and God really touches you and quickens you and makes you a part of it, you'll think that there ain't no church like this in the world. This will be the greatest thing that you ever seen. I was thinking today about some of you folks who came up here under Brother Tucker. The way y'all talk about him, He touched y'all in such a deep way. But I understand it, because there's people sitting out here that I touched just exactly like Brother Tucker touched. They feel about me just like you feel about Brother Tucker. I'm their father in the Lord. And they love that. And I love them. But y'all've got in my hearts too. I'm just saying that to help you know that when you come into a church and God hooks you up with a man of God and puts him in your heart and you in his heart. And then, you know, I remember like when Sister Elsie first came into church in Republic, she thought we was all angels. She didn't think one of us was ever committing a sin. She didn't see it. It was just hid from her. But I always said, if you hang around long enough, you'll finally, God will pull the covers off. God will finally let you know, every one of us. You stand here long enough, every one of us will know something about one another's spirit. You'll know something about something that somebody did, you know, or something that they have in their spirit. You finally get to know one another. That's, by the way... I've had several young preachers visit, you know, my church, the church I was pastoring. Over the years, that I've had several of them come to me and tell me, I don't ever get this kind of anointing at home. But when I go out, God blesses me, and I get anointed, but I don't understand why I don't get anointed at home. And they start throwing off on their home church. I always tell them, let me tell you why you don't get anointed at home. It's because everybody there knows you. And they know everything about you. And you just don't have as much. You ain't got everybody there snowed as much as you got them snowed here tonight. See, everybody puts on charity and loves you and opens their heart to you. And you can bless them. And you know they don't know that you slapped your wife last week. You know, or whatever you did. You know, that may be an exaggeration, but I'm just trying to make a point. Yeah, putting on airs. But in here, we get to know one another. You get to know something about everybody. You know, and when that happens, that's a big test for you. because you have to realize that there's trouble in here, you know, and you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm going to have to work with this. You know, this is my family, and they ain't the best people in the world, but they're who God put me with. And there's trouble in paradise. That's right. Well, there's another level of that, especially for ministers. You know, that's how I felt about this ministry. The leadership of this body, I'm telling you, when I came into meetings 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and those men sitting at those head tables, I'm telling you, those were the magistrates of my life. And I feared those men. And I had high honor for them. There was no one in the earth that I had any more high honor for. Because I know God showed me where I was at. I did come in from Babylon. I came in from out there, and I know what's out there. And I know that it's no way measures. And it has nothing to do with those people or us. It has to do with the Lord is building a church and restoring a church, and He may bring those people in way later than He brought you and I in, and they'll get the same penny you and I got. The fact God may promote them above us before this is over with. So just don't get feeling too big about being here, you know, longer than anybody else, because you know, the Lord, he works in His wisdom, His time. Our ways aren't His ways. And He's got a ministry out there that's taking care of His people until He can get this ready to bring His body together. And God's not trying. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, He wasn't trying to save everybody. He told some people, go on, go show yourself to the priest. You know, don't commit any more sin. He wasn't saying, come follow our group. Let's get this up a big group. He wasn't looking for a big group. He was looking for something to build a foundation with. And God's not, you know, the Lord, we're not looking just to build a big group of people. We're not in this for numbers. I want to see everyone God wants us to reach out to and add to this. I want us to be faithful enough the Lord can use us to do that. But I don't want us, you know, get in some kind of religious mode where we're just, you know, trying to get people saved that the Lord's not even trying to add to this. They may not, you'll just work yourself silly trying to help people get a vision that they're not going to get a vision right now. God's not dealing with them about this. But God's called you and I to this. And but when the Lord pulled the covers off and let me see that this ministry wasn't perfect and that they had problems, I'm going to tell you, that was a tough blow for me. I just about done me in. When I began to lose confidence in some of our leaders. But what it wasn't, I wasn't my confidence wasn't based on truth. It wasn't based on reality. It was based on ideology, my ideology. You see, my confidence wasn't in the Lord, it was in men. And I had to realize, you know, when the Lord, and y'all have heard me tell this, but I'm going to keep telling it till you get it. When the Lord told me, you know, when I started murmuring and complaining, telling Him and picking up faults about men of God, men that I sat under, when I started running them down and I started murmuring and complaining, and men that were in leadership, and I saw true faults in their life, I knew they were there. I wasn't blind to them anymore. When I saw that, it was just almost the death of me. But that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, you want me to put you in charge of my body? Now that's who you think you are. You're so arrogant and exalted that you think you are to be the one running this. And I said, the devil, get behind me. You know, I thought the devil was talking. You know, my imagination running away with itself or something. But the Holy Ghost began to move in and settle in on me. And I started really considering and weighing what was happening in my soul. And I realized it was true. I didn't want to admit it, but the Lord was telling me, you think you're smart enough to run and find every fault and judge these men? Yes, he said, you're right. I have showed you that these are men and they have faults. But they're the greatest men that I have to lead you. And if they're not good enough for you, then I don't have anything else to help you with. But every one of them, you ain't walked in their shoes. I haven't proved in you what I've proved in those men. And there may be some sitting in seats that shouldn't be sitting there. But if you don't think that I'm wise enough to get them out of those seats whenever I'm done with why I have them there, then you don't know very much yet, do you? That's how the Lord talked to me that day. I'm telling you, I got broke down. I got down in that pickup, and I got to repenting to God. And I began to realize that he's the one that I need to put my trust in. And he's raising up men of God, and they're good men. They may have faults, but they've qualified in areas I haven't qualified in, and that's good enough for me. Somebody said it today, you don't have to be, you don't have to be on the top of the ladder to be a leader. You just got to be one rung above the ones that's following you. You know, and if there wasn't something wrong with people that you're leading, they wouldn't need a leader. So the Lord has to work all this in your life. But you have to realize, what kept me is God showing me I had nowhere to go. I'd go back over things. I'd think, I can't give up this doctrine. You know what some people do? They're not willing to eat the whole lamb. They just want to take the part that they like about this doctrine of the body of Christ, and the rest of it they want to chunk it. What you don't realize is those bitter herbs and the part that you don't like, it's the trials that you go through that makes the other things that you do like a reality. And the Lord, many times I'd go over and over in my mind, I'd always come up with the same answer. I don't have anywhere to go. But oh God, I was thinking while I was watching that TV program, I thought, God, you need to help our young people. They see things like this. Young man dear to my heart recently told me, said the Bible's full of flaws. It's full of error. You can't believe everything that's in it. And I thought to myself, God in heaven, what has happened to you? Well, it just, the devil can get a hold of minds, and minds are unstable. When you're young, I told this young man, I said, listen, think about this. Who you are is because of how you were raised and the teachings that you've lived and been raised up in. You could be a nobody without, half the brain you've got. Right, you could be out here, you could be a child of somebody that's living under one of these bridges out here. Or, living in abject poverty and have no vision of anything in life. I mean, they just, they don't have any principles. They don't know one thing about God. I said, you could be one of those people if it wasn't for God's grace that lets you come up in this. I know there's people that have principles. In fact, my wife and I were talking about it the other day. I said, her mother and daddy were ungodly. I mean, he was an ungodly drunkard. He, you know what I mean? Now, he wasn't, he worked. He was a, what do you call him? Merchant Marine. He was a captain on a merchant marine boat, and he run the boiler room. You know, he run a duty in there, like 4 hours on, 4 hours off, 4 hours on, 4 hours off. And then when they'd hit a port, well, they may be 2 weeks with, you know, free in town, do whatever they want to do. But he'd spend 6 to 8 months of time at sea doing those kind of things. But when he hit port or come home, he was drunk most of the time. At least by night, he was working on it all day. He was just a happy guy. He's just a happy drunk, but that's what he was. And I'm going to tell you something. And her mother was, I mean, you know, it was dysfunctional. If you talk about dysfunctional family, she came out of one. Let me tell you something, though. What's amazing about that? They had principles. You know why? Because this nation, God sowed the principle of righteousness in this nation during the years of revival, that he was sowing the gospel down in this nation. And the ungodly people 40 and 50 years ago had more principles than most people in church today. You listen to what I'm saying to you. You young people, listen to what I'm saying. They had more principles, the ungodly world, than most people in church today. They knew what was right and what was wrong. And they planted it in their children. They planted in their children to work. Tell the truth. Don't lie. They may have told a lie, but they'd wash their kids out, mouth out with soap if they caught them lying. You know, they might not have could have kept the law themselves, but they knew what was right. Ask Sister Smith. She's had her mouth washed out with it. Most people that grew up back then did, if they ever got caught. Lye soap. Many of them got lye soap ground. She says she can still taste it in her teeth. Well, she didn't lie no more either, she said. It did take up. I can tell you, my wife's not a liar. She don't tell lies. She's a truthful person, and she always has been. I mean, even when she, you know, wasn't as close to God, we weren't this living this kind of life. She still was honest. But back there, years ago, righteousness was planted in families in this nation. I mean, it was so down deep. And I'm telling you, today, we're losing that. Our young people are getting, they're smart. They're intelligent. They're full of knowledge. And they you know, they can examine everything. And so much is going on that they're almost numb by some of it. You know, like I've made this statement about homosexuality several times. Our young people, they are being numb to that. You see, when I see someone that I know is involved in homosexuality, or something rises up in me, I hate that. I literally hate it. It is the grossest sin that I can even think of. You know, it's just so gross. I mean, even an animal. There ain't an animal alive that pulls that kind of stuff. Animals are smarter than people. People have sunk so low into sin that people, we're having to have a national day for a Christian business that a man don't believe that two men or two women are to get married, and he makes that statement, and the whole nation rises up against him. What has happened to our nation? I mean, when I grew up, there wouldn't have been one person out there protesting against that. Because nobody would want to know, anybody to know, that I thought like that, much less act that way. Now they call it coming out of the closet. Well, I wish they'd get back in the closet. It's a crying shame and a disgrace. It's a disgrace to our nation. Amen. And God is going to curse this nation because of it. And it's sad. It's sad. And I see it. I started noticing about 15 years ago, the young people in the church in Republic, I noticed some of them got mad when I preached against homosexuality. Read the scriptures on it, that it was an abomination to God for a man to lay down with a man or a woman with a woman. And they get mad because you teach them the Word of God. Hatred. But it's not hatred. You ought to hate homosexuality. God hates it. In order something, God's fury rises up in that. God destroyed a whole Sodom and Gomorrah over that. And showed how he felt about it. And yet our young people, and right now I'm telling you, you can't hardly watch television. They're promoting homosexuality on television as fast as they can move. You don't want to know why? Because Hollywood is so down with it. How many of your favorite actors have you found out were and are homosexuals that you didn't know they were? Some of these guys, you know, that was, you know, big, tough, rough, tough brutes, found out they was queers. You know, dear God, help us. Yes, this world, what's happening to our nation? I'm telling you, young people, I hope you can develop something to realize. I'll tell you, if you get close enough to God, it'll be like a stench in your nostrils to even think about such things. But you see what happens? What happens is it just gets watered down. For long, you know, what difference does it make who you're having a relationship with? You know, as long as you're getting something out of it. Dear Lord. Anyway, the principles of righteousness were so down in this country, and I'm fearful for the church. It's hard. We're living in a day it's hard to get people saved. There's not very many people need God. They don't think they do anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. There's judgment coming on this world, and I guarantee you God can shake this world and put people in this nation on their knees. And he's going to do that. But it's going to be too late for some. You know, some people aren't going to respond quick enough. This nation is going to go. And that's the part that saddens me. And I want to say this to get this thought over to you that I have for myself. Do you ever feel like, you know, it's hard for me to be diligent about the things of God unless he's putting pressure on me? Don't you know it ought not be that way? We ought to have such a love and zeal for God that we're wanting to please him and gain his favor. And without, I mean, how are you going to ever live perfect? How are you ever going to reach perfection if it's not your desire? I appreciate it, Brother Prior's message, that we become his daily delight. You know, that we fall in love with him so much that we are pleasing him and he's delighted in us and how we're acting. And then, you know, when our young people are going to have to learn some of these things. You got to learn. Most of you are coming up and you don't even understand order. You don't work in order. Your life gets out of order and it will follow you and scar up your life when there's a right way to do things. And if you'd wait on God, God would lead you in his righteousness and in his will. But see, you don't trust God, you fear man. You know. Sister Cindy, Rachel, she about give up on me and her daddy, you know. She said, there ain't a guy living that you guys would approve for me. She said, y'all don't approve of nobody I bring up. I said, just keep bringing them in. They'll surely hit one after a while. Well, I understand we are putting before them the ideal. And the ideal don't happen very often. It's reality. It's what you have to work with is reality. But oh, let me tell you something. If you can get close, the closer you can get to God's ideal, the less you're going to suffer. because you are going to suffer. When you start getting things planted in your spirit, you think that God ain't going to judge you for getting out of order with Him and doing your own will instead of His will, I will promise you the day is going to come you're going to say, God, if I would have listened, if I would have just paid attention, if I'd have just tried to do what they tried to tell me. That's going to happen one of these days. When you get out of order, you're going to have days like that. And you're going to see there is no way to get out of this condition I'm in except work out of it and wait on God to help me get out of it. And it may never be as great as what it would have been if you could have let God lead you into His will. He'll turn your life into something beautiful, but it may not be as beautiful as it could have been if you could have got close to Him up front. See, it's where you're not trusting God. You won't trust Him either unless you get close enough relationship with Him and He begins to quicken you with His Holy Ghost and gives you that assurance that I am with you and I'm taking care of you. And when you get that, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. You can overcome anything that comes against you. But you have to get that relationship with Him and that assurance that He's with you. He's going to go with you. And He's behind you. He's in front of you and on both sides. And He's watching over you. You can know that. You can have that no-soul relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Well, my cold's getting better. I better hush. Hallelujah. I could say more, but I'm going to quit. I feel like quitting right here.
I would think it as he was talking, and he was talking about John, you know, writing those letters, and the thought that come to me was years ago, there used to be a cigarette commercial on it said, "You come a long way, baby." And I was thinking, we don't have to get those letters. I'm so appreciative of the instruction that we can get. And I was thinking about, you know, Brother Smith's been talking to these young people and stuff. And the other day on Facebook, my son had written he posted something on there that said, "I'm in a relationship and it's complicated." And I thought, it's just bad choice after bad choice like that. And here what back, ever since he's gotten away from the Lord, and it's like Brother Smith said, you know, you can raise your children up the very best you know how, but they can still, you know, get out and make bad choices. Well, my son running and trying this and trying that, and he joined the army. And while he was in the army, he had to get still and quiet. And I was thinking that's probably the way John was, you know, on that Isle of Patmos. He was still before the Lord, and he could listen, he could hear. And as I was thinking, as Brother Smith was preaching to us and stuff, the reason he can preach to us is he can say, I know that I know that I know. And while my son was writing these letters and he was getting still and getting quiet before God, because he had to, there was nowhere he could go. And he wrote me 21 letters during the course of his basic training, but what had happened was he got runner's knee and shin splints really, really bad. And almost the entire time that he was there, he was on crutches. And anyway, he would write these letters, and you could just see his heart turning towards God because he was in a place where he would listen. And I took full advantage of that and would write him letters, you know, and talk to him about God. And you could tell he was really listening, and the precious letters he'd write back. But it's exactly like Brother Pryor was saying today, you know, as soon as he got out of the army, then, oh, relief, you know. And then he, like I said, just the other day, he posted that comment And I was thinking, as Brother Smith was talking to these young people and trying to give them instruction, if the young people could just heed to this instruction, it would take you far. And as Brandon was saying, you know, he's calling on God. And I was thinking, this is exactly the opposite. If young people could just get this in their hearts, it's exactly the opposite of what the world teaches. The way up is down. It's down on bended knees. And I thought, you know, this is a highway that we're on. It's a highway higher than the world. And Brother Brandon, as you're going along, there's going to be times you are going to stumble. You know, you're going to get off. But there's beautiful, beautiful signs that you can watch for. And there's signs that you can see plainly not to take. Don't take the road that says Broadway. Don't take the road that says Hollywood and Vine or Easy Street. Those aren't the roads. Those aren't the signs that you take. But if you want to get off, if you need to get off, turn right. Always turn right. Get to the nearest gas station. Get some gas. Fill up and get right back. The way is to go straight and turn right. If you want a roadmap, if you want clear instructions how to make this. And the ways, like I said, it's not always easy. I've been in this since I've been 18 years old. And there are times where the way is so dark. Like Brother Smith said, the valley is so low. But during those times, oh God, there'll be times where it's so dark that you can't see. But after having done all, just stand. If you can't do nothing else, just stand. Stand on these principles Brother Smith was talking about. It'll take you a long way. And listen to somebody that's been there. I thought in this youth meeting, and by the way, I'm so thankful. I just started a new job 3 weeks ago, and the lady told me, the owner of the place, I work for La Quinta Inn in Bryant, and the lady had told me right from the get-go during the weekend of the youth meeting that I was going to have to work that Sunday. She said, now every once in a while you'll have to work, and that Sunday you will have to work. Well, I was just driving down the road going to work and thinking about it, and I thought, oh Lord, I'm going to miss that youth meeting. And she just out of the blue changed that schedule in midweek. There was no reason. She never gave me a reason. And to this day, I don't know why. She just changed it. So I got to be in on the meeting. And she told me this Sunday, today, now you definitely are going to have to work. And I, okay. And so she just up and changed the schedule again. I thought, oh, Lord, you got my backside. And that's exactly the way it'll be for the young people if they'll listen, if you'll heed. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has taken care of me and he's watching over me. And I appreciate that there are older people that can give you instruction and people that know that they know that they know. And that sounds like you're putting on airs, Brother Byers, but that's not airs. That is a fact. And I just wanted to say I appreciate this way and I appreciate the instruction. And I appreciate Brother Smith, you know, he's not getting paid this like ginormous salary to be here, and he's not doing this for any other motive than it's in his heart. It's in his heart to serve God. He's found a better way, a highway, and that's what I have found. Years ago when I was young, and I could have been like Brother Smith said, some child out under the bridge, some homeless person, but this merciful God allowed me to come in. Well, I've tried to teach this to my children, and they have strayed. They have made bad choices, but I'm still praying. Thank God the story's not over. It is not over. I am praying for these children. And I would, like Tommy said, when Kyle was in the Army, I mean, he was writing us letters just begging us to pray. He was wanting to know every bit of information, like, Mom, tell me what the campground was like. He was wanting everything. But you know what? He involved God. He has asked for prayer. And so I had made a trip here a while back to Republic, and while I was in church, Brother Parker asked the whole church to gather around, and he got out a handkerchief, and we all prayed over the handkerchief, and I sent it to Kyle, and Kyle's keeping it right beside his bed. So I'm confident that the story's not over, you know, that God is going to work in him. I believe that. I stand on that. There's things that you have to have faith in. And I thought, but these young people, they don't have to go through that. And, you know, in this youth meeting, I thought, you don't know how many young people, the stories, like, there. I didn't get to hear it. I was downstairs, but I was told about it. There was a young man talking about the very dysfunction of his family. And I know of a young man that came from an extremely dysfunctional family that's been in our youth meetings. And his testimony is just unbelievable. But you don't know each and every one of these young people what they're going through. But I'd like the young people to know that you don't have to come to me, tell me your problems or anybody else, but I want you just to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for these young people, and I appreciate them. And I just have an appreciation for the hope that we have and what God has given us. And I just want to express my appreciation tonight and let y'all know that I love you and thank you for the many prayers that's gone out for Tommy and I at different times in our lives when we've needed it. But I love you all.
About Sister Oates' job, she came and asked me if it would be all right to take this job, because she knew that I teach not to take a job that would keep you out of church. And she told me, the woman told her that she'd have to work some days, not that much, but maybe once in a while, special times, she might have to work on a church time. And she said, if you don't want me to take this job, I won't take it. I just want you to know what, you know, that some, how, what kind of order some people work in. And I said, well, take the job and let's see. Let's see if it gets to being too much. You know why she, I think she got that time off just unknowingly. It's because God is mindful of the order she works in. See how that works? So I just want you to see that. See, so I don't want some of you, her testimony might have made some of you think, well, Brother Smith teaches against taking a job like that, and she took that job. Her testimony, I just wanted you to know, she took that job in permission, and we're just watching the Lord and seeing how it'll work. She said, if it gets to be too much, I'll quit. And I know she will. So I just wanted you to know that.
Get up and read some scriptures. I literally feel like my heart is about to explode. It's in Psalm 31. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. I have a couple more. This has just kind of been on my heart lately. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in the love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
appreciated all the good words tonight and the instructions to our young people. It's good for the old as it's for the young. But I thought of this song, and it applies to the young and the old. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies, for he's the Lord of all. And he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He eases every pain. He fills my every longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any other, for he's a friend that's closer than a brother. Oh, on this friend I can rely to give me strength as time goes by. For he's my everything, and he's all I need. He comforts me, oh, when I'm weary. Oh, and he eases every pain. He fills my every longing, time and time again. Oh, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. Oh, he's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I need not need someone to talk to. Always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. Oh, all my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies, for he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. Oh, he comforts me. My
Right shot.
a friend who's closer than a brother. And on this friend I can rely to give me strength as time goes by.
Pray for the ministers' meeting this week. Starts Tuesday morning in Ducoin, Illinois. pray for this ministry that God would give them something. The ministry's gifts of the ministry is for the people, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. So ask God to give them something for you. And, you know, there's not any of us ministers that have anything that we didn't receive from the Lord. So, through other ministers or however he revealed it to us, but it's all for, of course, we're saints too, so it's for us too, but it's for the people of God. And I'm longing for God to give us something. I think we're getting to a point that we need another touch from the Lord. Something, you know, that would lift up this people and encourage and bring new zeal and a new quickening to us. I'm asking the Lord for that. And I'm not discouraged. I don't want to leave that impression. I'm not discouraged. But I feel like we could, you know, use a shot in the arm and something more from heaven. And I know there's more, you know, and I'm not trying to rush the Lord. I'm just asking him. I know he's not going to move before it's time, but I know how this works. God, it seems like the Lord begins to put it on people's heart and begin to cause us to have a yearning for more of him. And then he touches us. So I feel like there's several ministers feeling, you know, something like that. So pray for this meeting. And what's the report? No, Brother Brett mentioned about Sister Wilkins, but have we got, where's Sister Linda? She in, have you got enough help this week to help her? All right. Sister Yvonne? Okay. So could we get some volunteers to help Sister Wilkins? Okay, Monday. So Tuesday, Wednesday. Could we get someone to cook for Sister Wilkins and her son Wednesday? Take something over to them. Yeah, she can't. She's got, you know, high blood pressure problems, so you don't want nothing, don't put any salt in it. But if we could get someone to take care of Wednesday for her, and prepare a meal and take over there, huh? Somebody saying? From the day before. All right. Well, someone would maybe check with Sister Fisher or Sister Tally, just make sure that's covered. If it's not, we'll make sure it gets covered. Let my wife know. I'll be gone to the meeting, but let my wife know, Sister Linda, if Wednesday's not covered. So we'll take care of it some way. All right. Praise God. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness.